Hello, patrons. Welcome to Roleplay Blades, episode 4, post-game chat. Well, at least with 4 of us.
Whenever we comes back.
We just cast a spell of invisibility.
Wait a minute. That's a thing?
It is now.
Why don't there were spellcasters in this?
Let me start with a question, as we usually do. A comment and a question. This episode was very revelatory in terms of what the crew is pursuing, what the characters, like, where their lines are, what they care about, their values. We saw a lot of stuff like that. Do I have a question? I'm going to keep saying comments until I get to a question.
Sorry.
For me, like, I was just saying, this episode was very revelatory. And
have we started?
We started.
Okay. I apologize.
It's okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. No worries. We learned a lot about the characters this session. And as usual, yeah. I think we've said this before in our post-game, like, it was spontaneous. Like, I didn't decide ahead of time, episode 4, we should learn about the characters. And you guys weren't like, oh, let's have an episode that focuses, like, on the various lines that we might not cross or what our characters really care about. It came from just improvisation, essentially. The 5 of us just, like, interacting with each other. But there's still this kind of overriding theme happening. I guess my general question is, like, what do you guys think about that? Like, in terms of gaming experience, you know, how do you feel about this sort of exploratory process of, I don't know what tonight's session is going to be about, let's see what happens, versus potentially like a more structured approach? I might be loading the question too much.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think I have like 2 working examples of this and sort of like previous roleplay shows, because like on one hand you have like Mirror Shades, where we almost got caught up so much in the planning, but in doing so it revealed a lot about the characters, so that was fun to do. I think that Blades is a bit more akin to like Swan Song in that it got to the point where there were like, it was okay to have a long episode where not much happened, but things in the world were happening, right? And I really feel a little bit of that in Blades. I think what I like about Blades is that it does allow us to kind of be like, okay, we talked our heads off, like, let's do something. Whereas, like, sometimes it was like, nope, that's not going to happen for another episode and a half. So having that level of flexibility is really fantastic. You know, I did notice at one point people were like, less planning, more killing. I was like, dude, honestly, in terms of like plans, this is probably like, we're still clocking in real, like short amount of planning time by comparison to a lot of them. So, I mean, admittedly, I kind of like the planning thing, because I think even a suggestion coming from Zeke or Anne or Jeff are going to reveal something about the characters, because it's all still very new. Versus like episode 75, where it's like, okay, people definitely know like Academy. They like probably guess what, you know, I might do. And so then it's up to the player to kind of like keep people guessing. But I love the discovery. For me, it's one of the reasons why I roleplay.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna say something, Anne, or
No, I mean, I like that. Even though it feels like, you know, we didn't like do a job this episode, but at the same time we did a lot of stuff that was all in character, and even like the planning stuff. That's like, Katabi goes off and does her like, it is a downtime action, and it's not part of like the job, but she like did all this stuff that was like in character. So it's still like, it to me, it doesn't feel like stagnating, whereas sometimes on like Balance of Power and stuff, it would feel like we were doing all this stuff out of character and we're just like sitting there talking and trying to plan things, rather than in this where it doesn't feel like there hits this like low point where we're kind of just talking to each other because I still feel like there's a lot about the characters that's being explored.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of funny. I feel like this is almost the hardcore role player show because every single damn episode has so much character driven personality, like very in-depth development stuff that they kind of struggle. And this is why I bring this up. And it's, I don't say this out of pride. I say this as almost a sad remark. I think in order for a role play show to be really successful on this platform, you almost have to avoid that. That being said, I hope we never do. I hope, even if our show doesn't have the highest viewership, I think the best show is a show that's like, oh, you missed episode three of you? Then this isn't nearly as poignant for you. This isn't as big of a deal. Which hopefully, if we do a good job, we drive people to JP's YouTube or to subscribe so they can watch the VODs and be up to date with that. Because I feel like that's the most rewarding.
Yeah.
I feel like an easy trap to fall into is every episode is guts and gore and awesome action and it's really fun and, you know, I'm obviously having a great time, but not as much depth. I like in these episodes the point that John was really harping on where Miss Cadaby made a big reveal and was like, actually, no, I don't have to be the one that kills that person. Whereas with Rune, it's obviously very important. Or, I mean, maybe not necessarily, it felt like it's important. I mean, Anne could talk about this, but the projection that I received was she feels so passionate about killing this person that it should be her that does it. That's really cool little stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
That when we get to like that actual, like the point of that happening, people who have watched all the episodes will know like the weight of it. And I was talking with Adam Coble when we were in Colorado and I was saying how it's really cool that, you know, he and John have a Blades show that's been, you guys have been doing for a long time. Mm-hmm. So there's all these other NPCs that have been fleshed out in your universe that you're kind of bringing the pieces of
crossover.
That
yeah.
Yeah, and I'll see people in the chat like whenever you like mention a character and they know who that is and I have no idea, you know, I haven't been following the other show so I don't know who that is, but to them it has importance and weight because they've been following the other show. And I feel like that's the same with this, where, you know, as we keep going and as people stay, you know, loyal to watching the shows and stuff like that, all those little moments of like character development that come in future episodes are going to have a lot more weight.
Well, speaking on character development, Steven tried to do this with Wes Marches as far as doing flashbacks during camping, flashbacks and stuff. The thing that I like about this is like the downtime shit is built in so that it not only lends itself to more character development, it kind of pushes you forcefully to develop your character, because in order to relieve stress, which can be harmful to you going forward, you have to go through these character development stages. And I love that we're not just going from job to job, because you wouldn't have moments like hand me the knife.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You wouldn't have moments like, seeing Miss Cadaby like, weave the web of, you know, the of planning of sewing herself as, you know, showing herself as the spider, you know, the espionage, the spycraft and all that kind of stuff. Seeing careless delight in the turning of a heart, you know, and that kind of stuff. It's just, it's fucking fantastic that we get to do this. And that's the thing. It's a lot of D&D sessions or shows or stuff like that are action films. This is definitely a drama.
Yeah.
And you gotta, I mean, I think the more that we stay true to that, the more like we'll speak to people's, their sense of entertainment, you know, that kind
of thing. Our egos. I'd even say it's almost a drama in the sense that a Game of Thrones is a drama where like most of it is character building and dialogue. But when they do have their fights, people are like, well, that's the best fucking fight scene I've seen on TV. And
yeah.
I'm thinking of all of our action sequences, and I'm like, man, if someone made a movie of that shit, that is the coolest shit.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and I don't say that. Well, I don't say that to say like we're the best role players ever in the world, you know, period. I bring that up because it opens the doors for you to have good role playing moments. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So I think that's an important distinction to make. We're not having good moments necessarily because we are good role players. It's because the opportunity is there.
Right. Agreed.
I have two comments on that. One, you guys are really good role players. So I played thousands and thousands of sessions of role playing games, and you guys are very, very good. So pat yourselves on the back.
Yay!
I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. You guys are great. You're really good. But second, like, I think Jeff hit on a very interesting point with viewership and with Game of Thrones as a concept. This used to be the classic problem with syndicated television versus sort of modern television. And there used to be that tension where TV executives said, look, we got to sell to syndication. And the way that we make money is we make standalone episodes mm-hmm. that anyone can watch in any order. And that's just how it is. That's the best way to make money in television. And it was like that till The Sopranos, more or less. Like, there were exceptions before that, like Hill Street Blues and Cagney and Lacey and those shows. But television has changed, and someone took a risk and said, well, what if we didn't do that? What if watching episode 7, like, you really didn't know what the fuck was going on? Like, we're just going to commit to mm-hmm. having a storyline and having character development and all this stuff. And Next Generation kind of straddles that line, right? It starts out episodic, and then they shift into this continuity as the show, when Gene dies, essentially, and Ron Moore takes over, and they're like, we're just going to do continuity now. And I think the viewers have shown up for that, and I think a lot of modern audiences waffle back and forth. Like, they want some episodic entertainment for sometimes, and they want deep storylines sometimes, and they kind of pick and choose their content, you know, based on how it goes. So it's interesting as an experiment to see, like, in this format, what are people drawn to the most? In my experience, like with Swan Song and Mirror Shades, the answer seems to be deep character development over a very long haul is the answer. But I don't know. Court of Swords is kind of the opposite. So, mm-hmm. And it's also super popular. So it's cool to discover that. And we should acknowledge our network executive here in this conversation, JP. Like, the fact that he has no creative input, which is so crazy. And in the entertainment world, this is unprecedented. Like, The Simpsons had to fight tooth and nail for this privilege on television, to have no executive changes on their scripts and that kind of shit. But we just take it for granted that this person who's our executive producer / management person / creative director, like, has no input into the creative content of our show, never says anything about what type of stuff we should be doing or how to make the show more popular or anything like that. We're just free to do what we want. And that's incredible, right? As a creative team, we have this freedom that's just amazing. And yeah. It's easy to take that for granted, but it's a huge deal that we should acknowledge, I think. So yeah, thank you, JP. I mean, these turn into like, just patting each other on the back a lot, but it's important to give credit where credit is due. I worked in a lot of agencies that did not have good creative direction and leadership, and it's nice to.
Well, the thing is, like, when you have such a fun thing to do, you don't want to be the only one feeling it, you know. You want to share it with everybody else, and that's kind of where the patting everybody on the back goes, because this wouldn't be nearly as fun without, you know, other people who are invested.
Yeah,
100%.
Yep.
If this was like obviously pulling teeth for any two or three or even one of you, this would not be anywhere near as fun by a landslide.
Yeah, and this is the point about role playing too, that not everyone in the role playing hobby even knows this, which is a real tragedy to me. And I've explicitly written it in a book to try to help get this message out. But this hobby is a collaborative creative endeavor way more than it's a game. It is a game. We're playing a game together, but more than that, we're using the game as a tool to create social fiction improvisationally as fellow creators together. And all of those game mechanics and stuff are there to help us do that and to make it easier and less daunting. But at the end of the day, like, we haven't played a game together in the way, if we had played Rocket League tonight, that is a vastly different experience. and a great experience. We have a real wonderful time. But this is the five of us made fiction out of nothing improvisationally. That's what we actually did. And I think it's really important to bring that to the forefront and really shine a spotlight on like what we're trying to do here, and what serves that purpose and what undermines that purpose and blah, 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 game theory, blah, blah, blah. But you guys seem to really get that in a visceral way. And then all of the gamey stuff can ride on top of that and be super fun. And it's not disruptive to be like, actually, we should get a bonus for that, or da 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 da. Because we know that at the end of the day, that's not why we're here. We're not here to monkey with that stuff. All that stuff serves this other purpose.
I do like the onus being put on the players. Do you think you get two for that?
Right.
Because if you're just giving it, you're like, well, thank you very much. And you don't question it. But if you said, do you deserve it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. Okay, one.
It's a power dynamic, right? Like,
people are talking me off of them getting two. You
know? That's right.
Yeah.
I don't want to put myself in a position by default to be an authority figure, right? Like, you guys are my peers. You're not my charges. I'm not here to police you or nanny you or anything.
Don't let any other GM hear you say that, dude.
Yeah, it's that power structure is essentially bullshit. Like, why would I assume that I'm the authority figure with these four amazing creative people? Like, clearly we're peers. I putting myself like in charge of things is silly. So yeah, putting it on you guys and beyond, because of course you're going to have use good judgment and be honest and true. And Jeff is going to assist you and like advocate for your interests, and you're going to be the judge. And of course that's the dynamic we're going to have. We're not going to have some degenerate case where everyone is like, I get eight, eight's the most, we all get eight. Like, that's not, you can do it. Yeah. That's allowed by the rules, but why would you? You're better than that, and I don't have to be the cop, because you're good at it. So, sorry to ramble there. I had another like a brief follow up question. We're running out of time, but it was about character development. We're getting to the next. Aldo's getting Ghost Fighter. Rune's getting Compel. I think Carolus and Katabi are close to, you're getting a new action, I think, Jeff. Everyone's getting to this next stage of development. Tonight, it was convenient. Like, it was very obvious. Like, oh, I should get Ghost Fighter. Oh, I should get Compel. Those were easy choices.
Well, and I want to work those in, by the way. I want to work those in story-wise.
Totally, yes. And that's a rule in the game. Like, when you get those, we talk about, like, how and why and all that.
Yeah.
My brief sort of gamer question, to get back to the gamer side of things, character builds are a big deal in all these types of games, particularly the video game versions of RPGs. When you guys started out in Blades, did you treat it like your video game RPG character? Like, I'm going to figure out what my build order, so to speak, in StarCraft terms, I guess. Like, did you look at it that way? Like, I kind of want to get here. I want to have X, Y, and Z. Or has it been much more kind of exploratory? It's kind of a one or the other kind of question, I guess. But
definitely the latter for me. I think I thought of like kind of the general character personality and kind of talked with you about how to get to where I wanted to be as far as like the initial starting point. Like with Myth, I wasn't sure how to have that be a thing. And you were, you know, you suggested the ritual and stuff like that. So I didn't really plan like these are the abilities that I want to have in the future. And that's I kind of like that, because now where we're, I'm like, okay, well, I have 4 XP and I need 4 XP to get Compel, and Compel is going to help us in the next thing. So I kind of feel like that feels more of like a natural progression, because in my mind, it's like, okay, we've started planning this thing and Rune has been studying the occult and practicing. And now she's like kind of finally, she knows that this mission is coming up. So she's got, you know, she's been working really hard on getting compelled to be a thing that she, like a skill that she has. So in my mind, I like that natural progression rather than being like, well, I'm going to get this, even if it doesn't really help me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to get this in the future or something. And
yeah,
I don't really like that.
I learned a long time ago role playing that it's so much more interesting and so much more enjoyable and fun to forget about min maxing, forget about what goes where, like what, how can I maximize my strength if I'm a fighter and stuff like that. Like, so I'll get this skill, but I mean, sometimes it makes sense story wise because you use these things. If you're a fighter, you use these things, but if you find yourself in a situation where last session you didn't use any of your fighting skills, but you learned a thing or two about hunting. So you take that skill instead because it makes for a more interesting choice than maybe you don't hit as hard, but you have advantages somewhere else and it makes for a more rich character, which I absolutely, absolutely love doing. I love taking like juxtapositions, like taking skirmish, but also taking study. No, I love that shit. So I really relish the chance to have a more human character. Idiosyncrasies make you a person rather than you know, a category.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I would say like as role playing and as you introduce yourself to different systems, I think I started off with always wanting to min-max and always like, okay, I'm gonna be thinking about what I'm gonna get at level 5. Fact of the matter is that like you are one variable and the people you play with are the other variables. And like I quickly found out, I think that it's like, you know, I'm just not going to commit to that. I'm literally going to do what I feel like feels right. And tonight for me was like exactly that example. I did not know tonight that I was going to be taking connected, but as I was looking through and I was one point away, I was like, you know, in today's episode and in the future episodes, this will actually make a lot of sense. And based on the fact that I've already done a lot of info collecting, we'll probably do more. Cause that's my role. Like that's the way I'm going to go. So that was sort of a snap decision. And I think you guys mentioned it earlier is that there's so many times where you just kind of like, whether it be role playing to the scene or role playing to even like what I'm doing on my character sheet. That was a decision that I was like, okay, here are my three options. I'm just going to train, take that XP and take this because that's what seems right now. I kind of like that too because it forces me to almost be impromptu constantly with my own character. You follow some guidelines and like what you want to do with that character. But from there, I think it's more fun to just kind of be like, okay, you know, this makes the most sense now. And right. I mean, it's nice to play a system where it's like that will never go to waste. So it's hard to make a wrong decision, I think, in this particular game. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, for me, my character, Mr. Sicarian in Swan Song, was my first like exploration into something like that. Because before that, all my characters, I did min-max the shit out of them. I was super making decisions because I not necessarily because the character would do that, but because I wanted to keep them alive, but also get them as powerful as possible.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's to be faulted to have fun to do that, but I definitely
not
side of the coin, which is throwing your character into the situations that you think that they would actually be in, and seeing how they come out of it or how it affects them, and then you actually are kind of role playing a different life and you are experiencing something else, and that's a very rich experience. I've been having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think min maxing is a good thing most of the time. And certainly not something to be ashamed of. It's a tool in a toolbox. It's not the only thing you do. There's like other things to do too. And discovering that and finding those other tools is a good thing. And just to wrap this up for Patreon supporters, you made a really interesting point there about realizing that you weren't on your own. Like you weren't just playing a solo game and you didn't have to figure everything out yourself and like make sure you had the right build to cover every situation or whatever. That is what I would say to GMs out there who are people who are thinking about running a game. the thought that crosses your mind is, I have to run a game and it's all me and I have to do it by myself. And oh my God, how am I going to do that? What am I going to say? What should happen? Blah, blah, blah. And it's so easy to forget that you have these other people that are creative and interesting and are going to come up with amazing ideas that you would never think of. So I think what we'd said about making characters is totally right advice for GMs. Anyone who's watching this who wants to run a game, like, just, it's not just you. You've got three other people, creative, awesome people that are going to help you too. So don't be afraid of it. Just give it a try.
Embrace that shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Dive in. If you don't know the answer, ask the group. What do you guys think? What should this guy be like? Where should we go next? Just, you know, farm it out to the group. It's a good way to go. We have gone a little over, so we should wrap it up, but that was a good talk. Thanks for hanging out after the game. Thanks to our patrons for supporting these great chats. I love our post-game talks. Really cool. It's awesome that we have this archive of interesting discussions for everybody.
Yeah,
it is. Cool. Yeah, thanks for watching, and we will see you guys in the next.
See you next week.
Next week, man.
Bye, buddy.
Adios. Bye.